this evening. We are not looking at being led by the Spirit, but we are looking at another something similar to that. But before we go to that, I just want to look at the word grace in the context of our Christian life. We always, from very early on in our Christian walk, we know the song, the hymn Amazing Grace, right? Everybody knows, Protestant, traditional, until now they make it into a pop contemporary song, right? My chains are gone, they added on, right? But have you ever wondered, this composer, why did he use amazing to describe grace? Right, if we sing until we forget, he used the word amazing, right? He just thought, amazing grace, how sweet. Everybody likes a tune. But what's so amazing about the grace of God? I think this author was so inspired. This composer or the author of the lyrics was so inspired to call it amazing, to describe grace as amazing. What is amazing, Marianne? Is it a noun? Is it a verb? What do you think? Amazing. Adjective, right? Is it an adjective? Yes, to describe grace. Grace is a noun. So anything to describe noun is an adjective. It's not a verb. Adverb is something to describe the verb. English lesson. So it's adjective. Adjective is a descriptive word. It describes grace as amazing. Why? Do we know what is grace? Grace has always, even in the modern day, grace is an issue. Some people say you stretch grace too wide. Some people say you restrict grace to narrow. Whatever is extreme, you have hyper grace or all kinds of grace. We cannot deny that grace is an essential part of Christianity. You don't find it in any other religion. Correct or not? Something very special. When you talk about grace, other religions talk about karma.
Deeds.
Karma, deeds. Do something good.
Meritorious deeds.
Meritorious. Karma, something you do to come back to haunt you. Even Christians are so scared to talk about
cause
karma.
But
Christian has something that is beyond all this, exceeding all this, is called grace. Sometimes to the extent some Christians also cannot understand. Like, not fair. Because of the grace of God, a murderer can be set free. Do you think it's fair?
Yes.
You think it's fair? In our normal human mind, we will say, not fair. I didn't do anything and that fellow going to kill someone. But because of grace, he can be set free. I think even in our legal system, we have a little bit of that. We call it the pardon bond, right? We have someone, a higher authority, to grant a pardon. Agong or Sultan give a pardon. What? On what basis? It's grace, what? I celebrate birthday, I'm happy. So I let go some captives. It's even practiced in the modern day.
So you call him Kasih Karunia.
Kasih Karunia or Anugrah. Either Kasih Karunia or Anugrah is the word grace. So, what's so amazing about the grace of God? Number one, we must know that it cannot be narrowed to one specific area. Every time we talk about grace, what comes to your mind, Isaac? Something, you get something you don't?
Deserve.
Everybody knows that. It's like automatic formula. What is grace? You get something you don't deserve. Unmerited favor. But that is only in the context of justification and salvation. Correct? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, we are saved by grace through faith, not our own work, so that no one can boast. So in the context of salvation, justification is a big word. Its meaning is being made right. You are justified means made right. Okay? You and I are saved by grace, never by works. I can do a lot of million good deeds. I won't go to heaven because of my deed. Don't get that wrong, huh? Very basic, right? Rich people, they sign a big check, mock check, they pay to everyone. Pay to the temple, pay to everywhere. That doesn't guarantee them salvation. Because we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But that is only in the context of salvation. Grace is the means for us to enter into salvation. right? The means of salvation. We have grace to enter in. So it just makes perfect sense if we enter into salvation through grace, we should live out salvation through grace. That's why Paul says, who has bewitched you? You have started out in grace, and then halfway you go through, you forget about grace. You use works, you are into flesh, you are into works. But Paul is a very balanced teacher. He always says you have grace, you have faith, you also must have works. It's all a balanced thing. Amen? But what I'm trying to tell you is, grace speaks about who God is. Who God is and how He works in our lives. If you can capture the essence of grace, it means who grace tells us who God is and how He works in our lives. You want to know how things work out in your life? You and I must appreciate grace very much. Number one, grace is who God is. It is His attribute. He is made up of this substance called grace. When John, when he saw Jesus, he said, "This is Jesus, full of truth and grace." I don't know how can he see that. Was it by a revelation? You know, when he wrote in the gospel, when he saw Jesus, this is Jesus, full of grace and full of truth. That is who he is. It just appeared to him as one who is full of grace and truth. And that is who he is, how he deals with us, how he works in us. He shows us favor. He shows us goodwill. That is also grace. Right? At the same time, what many of us always miss out is grace is also a power. Wow. Grace is a power at work in our life. It's a spiritual substance, a power at work in our lives to bring us through this life, to fulfill God's purpose, to live like Jesus. So grace is who He is, how He works in us. A power, His action, it is a spiritual force that works in our lives. Apostle Paul can be known as an apostle who speaks a lot about grace. In fact, he said, "I am who I am by the grace of God." Have you ever read that verse? He defined, people saw him as a super apostle. All of us know Paul, right? Paul wrote so many epistles. Right? Well, he was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the church. So his life was a story of grace. He persecuted the church. God rescued him. Did he do any good thing? No, it was a direct encounter on the way to Damascus. Right? He had an encounter all by his grace. And God told him, "I rescued you so that you will suffer for me. And people will come to the knowledge of me." The story is all about grace. And then after, when people saw him as a super apostle, they said, "No, I am who I am because of the grace of God." It is not a nice thing to say. Back then in the New Testament days, grace was not a word that has been used for us. Grace has been used 2,000 years. But he was using it very fresh. Means he identified with the reality of grace. Then he said, "I do not let the grace of God be in vain in my life." He said, I am a recipient of God's grace, and I am a worthy recipient. Some people receive the grace of God, wasted it in their lives. Paul said, "No, for me it is very clear. What I am, you're seeing what I am today, it's because of God's grace, nothing of me." And we will see deeper what happened to him. Correct? That's grace. Now I want to show you grace in a practical way is God's provision in our trials, in our temptation, in our time of need. You know, I pray for people. This is my, this is a language between me and God. When I pray for people, when I see rainbow, or when I see an umbrella, it's a symbolic language that I identify with God. When I pray, I know that's grace upon that person. To other people, other prophetic people, maybe that means different thing. So sometimes when I see, sometimes I see a small umbrella, sometimes I see a big umbrella. I know God's grace on that person's life. And then what I see, I tell people and I pray out, right? More often than not, people are not very thrilled by getting such a prophecy. You just say, you know, God's grace is good for you. They want something bigger, lah. They hope it's a more powerful prophecy that tells something bigger. Not recognizing grace is a very powerful thing in the spirit realm. You know, we rather have some other powerful things, but sometimes God shows, hey, my God, my grace is at work in your life. If you have that promise, if God has that revelation in your life that His grace is at work, well, you can rest assured, you can relax. Why? His grace is actively at work. See how it happened? Because of His grace, we got Apostle Paul. So isn't that a good evidence that His grace is very effective?
Can it consider as a gift?
Yes, because the original word is charis. In the Greek word, grace is charis. Charis is gift. You are right, it's a gift. It's a gift that is a power that at work in our lives. And in the Bible, it is promised every child of God is given a measure of grace. You cannot say, I don't have, right? Just everyone has a basic measure of grace. But of course, you can have more than others. These are the things of the Spirit. It is unlimited. So coming back to my second point, grace is the provision for times of trial, times of need in our lives. Very strange. Would you want to have grace in your time of trial? No, right? You rather have an answer. You say, God, I want money. I want a spouse. I want a car. I need a house. I need a job. Not grace. Would you agree with me?
Right. You know why?
Huh?
Grace is something you do not see. But a sport car you can see.
Yes. So that's what you want, right? Do you agree with me? We want something fast, tangible. But in the spirit realm, grace is the provision for every trial, every time of need that we face. Very strange. But the earlier we recognize this, the faster we work with God. We know, oh, God's grace is upon my life. I become a worthy recipient of God's grace. I allow the grace to work in my life to do what God wants to do. If you think this is not true, I point you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7. It's a very interesting verse everybody knew. Paul started that chapter by saying, I know of someone who was caught in a third heaven. Actually, he was talking about himself. He was very humble. He was the one who was caught up to heaven. He saw things that no mortal mouth can say. He said, I cannot say that. It's too divine. Sometimes in a modern day Christianity, you can hear everybody is gone to heaven. Everybody going to see Jesus. It's like something no longer precious. But Paul viewed all these things as very sacred. It's not something to be played. Not play. You know? All the spiritual gifts, all the things of the Spirit, these are not toys, right? It's not meant to be toys. When Paul spoke of his encounter in heaven, he was so respectful, he was so reverent of God, that he didn't even mention that. He just said, I know someone who went to the third heaven, and I could not say, and he cannot say what he saw there. It's something so sacred. He knew it was something so precious, not to be thrown it's like pearl, not to be thrown among pigs. Amen. He started that chapter by saying that. Then he went on in verse 7 to say, because I'm given such high experiences, God doesn't want me to be proud. Correct or not? If you and I, if we are given a grace, the opportunity to go to heaven, all of us will be very proud. We have 10 Facebook accounts. I'm sorry. Correct or not? Every account is to tell us every place you go to heaven. we will write 300 books. Not wrong. God asks us to do. But we have become, Paul himself says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Okay? Don't think that we have revelation. It's good. Yes, it's a good thing. The risk, Paul tells us, if you have too much revelation, we'll become puffed up. We will become proud. Correct or not? That's what Paul said. Because of abundance of revelations, I myself may exalt myself beyond measure. I'm no longer Paul. I see myself as the revelator. You know? This is the risk, the temptation. Then he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Oh dear. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So what he has here, my brother, my sister, he has a thorn. He has a problem. He has a trial. Are you following me? He is in a temptation. He is in a suffering because of the thorn that he is given. Right? Look at verse 8. As with every good, faithful Christians, you are in a problem. What do? Brother Isaac, you pray. Correct? Every good Christian will pray, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Take away the thorn. He prayed 3 times that the thorn may depart from him. Everyone look at verse 9. Read with me. 1, 2, go. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10 together. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have a quiz for all of you. Did God answer Paul's prayer? Paul prayed 3 times. Remove the thorn from me. What is the answer? Did God answer his prayer?
No. God says his grace is
sufficient. So God did not answer his prayer? Did God answer his prayer? Yes or no? Did God answer his prayer? He prayed. Did God answer him?
God answered him.
Yes. God answered him. Answer.
But not to what he wants.
Oh, very clever. Oh. Not to what he wants. So, did he get an answer?
God gave him the answer.
He got an answer.
God said, my grace is sufficient for you.
So he prayed, pray. Then suddenly God said, my grace is sufficient. Did he get an answer?
No.
No? Yes or no? Yes? Did he get an answer, Marion? No, no? He said, God, take away the thorn of flesh. God, take away. He said, he prayed to them, God, take away the thorn of flesh. Then suddenly, he heard a voice, my grace is sufficient for him. So, God answered him. Answered him. There's an answer. At least he talked. It's not like he talked to the wall, right? Hey, help me. No answer, no answer. But to him, there's an answer that came from heaven, right? My grace is sufficient for you. Is it the answer he wants, like Brother Joseph said? No. Did God rob Paul? Okay, let's make it more spiritual. Did the devil steal the answer? Everybody will like to blame the devil. The devil must have steal. We don't. Our unanswered prayer must be because of devil, right? Did devil steal the answer?
No.
You're not told that, right?
No.
So okay, then we pass the spiritual test. Did God withhold the best answer from Paul?
No.
It could have been a best answer, there could be a better plan, but when God answered this one, it's the second best. What do you think?
Say no.
No?
No.
Huh?
God give him the
answer. If the answer that God gives is the best
answer.
Yes.
Yes. So you and I have to acknowledge in our times of need, in our times of trial, in our times of temptation, sometimes the answer is His grace. His grace is the provision. I'm not saying that you will not get the answer, like you will not get the job, you will not get the car, you will not get the healing, no. But when God answer, He starts from the spirit realm. He must first be real in the spirit realm. You catch the grace, you will see the manifestation in the natural realm. You don't get the grace, you wait for very long, you also see nothing manifest in the natural realm. Now you get that? So first it must be spiritual realm. And what is it that you must receive? Grace. Grace. Now next time people pray, I see God's grace working in your life, I will be happy. Will you be happy now? Because it's a powerful thing. Amen. Are you following me? Do you want God's grace?
Yes.
You want God's grace?
Yes.
So God's grace at work became the answer to Paul. That was the best answer God gives to Paul. He's suffering. Many people think that it's some people think it's a physical condition. It's an eye problem for Paul. Because some people say that he has an eye issue. Some people say it's a spiritual issue because in the word it says a messenger of Satan. Maybe he experienced something physical or spiritual. In the Bible it says it didn't go away. But God answered, God gave him the best, His grace. Now listen to this very powerful quote. I was talking to someone and I told them this. Listen to this. God allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent by His power. Many of our problems, just one thing like that, God can settle. Correct? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is what God can do in His power. Mm-hmm. But God, in His wisdom, allows things to happen what in His power He could have answered us. Mm-hmm. And you and I must recognize why the wisdom of God. What is God doing? It is in His wisdom. We do not get that one. Everybody believe God is very powerful. Just one peek on it. I can be fully set free. I can fly already. Many people believe that, right? And it's true. There is a basis. Many miracles in the Bible, right? Do you want to be healed? Jesus just asked me, be healed. So it's just like that only. But God, in His wisdom, allows what in His power He could answer or He could prevent. Praise the Lord. That is our God. So you must recognize the wisdom of God. Amen. In our lives, it is always the wisdom of God at work and His power at work. We do not know when is His power, when is His wisdom. When we recognize it is His wisdom at work, we will submit to Him. He knows best. His answer is the best. In case you are not convinced that the grace of God is what you need in a time of need, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, it's not just one verse we establish that truth. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we always quote it as well. But do we realize what it says here? Let us therefore, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and
grace.
Find what?
Grace.
For what?
Help in time of need.
Oh. In your time of need, you go to the throne of grace to find what? Answer. Like, God, give me the answer. God, give me the answer. But the Bible teaches us, you go to the throne of grace to receive what?
Mercy.
Number two, receive grace. Have you ever gone to pray and ask for mercy and grace? Or you pray for answer? You pray for job? You pray for blessing, money, breakthrough? But have you ever asked for grace? Have you ever asked for mercy? I've shown you two verses. Grace is God's provision for our needs. Grace is God's provision for our trials. This is what I talk about, the higher reality, last Sunday in the Christmas message. I say there is a higher reality we can tap on in our everyday Christian life. Once you are, like what we sang just now, in the presence of God, once you are in His presence, hello, everyone observe carefully, Once you are in that realm, once the grace of God is imparted to you, suddenly your perspective of a matter changes just at the twinkling of an eye. Your perspective completely changed. You haven't got the answer to your request yet, but because you are in that presence of God, the grace of God is imparted to your spirit, suddenly how you view this problem switch, turn to how heaven sees it. It could have bothered you for weeks, for months, for years. But just because you are in God's presence, just because that grace was imparted to you supernaturally, what you have been seeing so long, or you this problem, or you this person, this situation, or this whatever, suddenly how you have seen it for so long, suddenly just switch. That is a higher reality that is possible for every Christian. You suddenly see it, I've never seen it this way. That's possible because of the grace. When you go to the throne of grace, in time of need, you ask for grace. So in that one moment, your perspective changes. That's amazing. That one money cannot buy one. No books can tell you one. Suddenly you say, why am I worried for so long? Why am I so fearful for so long? Why am I angry for so long? Why am I whatever for so long? The perspective just changes. You're set free just like that. Number two, when that grace happens, how does the higher reality take place? Sometimes in our lives, there are many knots. You know what is knot? Tie a knot. In our heart, there are many knots, you know. So because of relationship, because of situation, things happen, there are many knots in our lives. So in our heart, a bit uneasy. When that grace just imparted in your spirit, supernaturally, less than a second, that knot can be untied. That is what the grace of God does in your heart, in your spirit. That is what I say, you can, in whatever circumstances, even though the circumstances doesn't change, but you can access into that higher reality, because when the grace reaches you, your perspective of things change. Your not so many knots inside, one after another begin to be untied. Hallelujah. That's the miracle of God's grace at work in your heart, in your spirit. Are you capturing it? Do you capture it?
So more or less that when you pray, you
don't make it into a formula. Of course, we can still open our heart, pray for everything, but get ready to receive the grace. We'll go deeper into that. We'll go further into that. But do you capture? Do you see that? You suddenly get a right perspective. Many knots in your heart will be untied, and you get the grace to know what God will do in a kairos moment. How do I say that? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, just now we read, and find grace to help in time of need. The original word, it actually says, find grace for a well-timed help. A well-timed help. You know, the right timing, the help will come. When you have that grace, you will know when that help will come. Then you will have the patience to wait. That's amazing. It's a well-timed help. Of course, when it is translated here, it says, you may find grace to help in time of need. Also not wrong. But in the original text, it is, you find grace for well-timed help. Well-timed, the correct timing, the help will come. You receive the grace. Suddenly, you don't carry that burden anymore. Problem is still there. But you know, God will do it. Even if it's 10 years, 20 years, but you have that grace for the 10 years, 20 years. You don't fight it anymore. That's the victorious Christian life. That's why we can be different from other people. It doesn't mean all the time our problems will be answered. It doesn't mean all the times our prayers will be answered. But we can live at a higher realm even though we are in the same problem like other people. That's the difference. That's why Jesus said, you can be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Everybody experiences no job, for example. You are still happy. Because you have the grace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the higher reality we are talking about. So everybody wants grace now. I've sold grace to everyone. Everybody wants grace now. Let's be practical. How do we get grace then? How do we get grace? The Bible also tells us we have to position ourselves to receive grace. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, we are approaching a throne of grace. Remember, you and I are not approaching a throne of judgment, not the great white throne of judgment that one day everyone will go. Not one day, end of the world comes, everyone will stand before the great white throne of judgment. It's a difference. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, you and I approach the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. It's a throne of grace. So when you go, don't expect judgment. It's a throne of grace. But we go very scantily guilty. Make sure we are cleansed by the blood. We get that right, then only we can receive grace. So the first thing is, remember, it's a throne of grace. We must position ourselves, I'm coming to the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The next part, the interesting part, 1 Peter 5:5. Humility position you to receive grace. God receives the proud, He gives grace to the humble. Wow.
Proud.
He receives. So if you are proud, can you receive grace? Buta lah. You learn all about grace. You know grace is so powerful. But because you have pride, no, cannot receive grace. Grace cannot be able in your life. And the first thing all of you will tell me is, I'm not proud. Hallelujah, I'm not proud. The fact that you stand out very, very loud and shout, I'm not proud, maybe indicates you're proud. Correct or not? Last time when I was small, I read the daily bread down there. If you think you are humble, you are not. Correct. If you think you are humble, you are not. Because you are proud that you are humble. I can still remember that, you know, daily bread, very short. Down there, there's a quote. Right? If you think you are humble, you are not. Oh, yeah. True also. So it got stuck to me. Now this is very, very interesting and very practical. The barrier to receive grace is pride, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Everybody gets that?
Yes.
Everybody gets that? How do you get rid of pride? How do you... Okay, let's be put it positively. How do we become humble? Correct now, we have the position also to be, to receive grace. So you must be humble. Eh? How to be humble? Let's go fast. Let's go very quick. There are two ways. We ourselves humble ourselves, or we let God do it. Okay, let's not beat around the bush. How to become humble? We ourselves decide to be humble, or we let God do it. Why do I say like that? Because you and I can decide to be humble. Why do I say like that? Jesus is the example. Philippians chapter 2, He who is equal with God, did not count it robbery, right? He emptied himself. He came down as a servant. Let's read so that you don't think that I just made this up. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. I'll read from verse 5 to verse 8. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is a description of Jesus, okay? From verse 6. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Why is no reputation? Humble. He decided himself. Okay, fine verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. This is an important verse. This is a clear example. You can decide to be humble yourself. When you decide to be like Jesus, make himself no reputation. Can you do that? No reputation, no. People step on you, no reputation. That all is your own choice, you know. Jesus really become no reputation, you know. He's a God, you know. Rabbi can scold him. People can want to beat him. And he asked him, spit on him. No reputation. That one you and I have to decide. Follow on. Taking the form of bond servant, coming in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Then I said, you can by choice humble yourself, and then Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We can choose to die to self. Humble ourselves, die to self. by choice. Boleh kan? By choice, you decide. Jesus decide. When in a verse just now, made himself no reputation. Another verse says what? You look at your verse. What does it say? He emptied himself. Oh yo, jadi tim kosong. Emptied himself.
Empty.
People say you bodoh, you very angry, right? But empty himself means bodoh lah. You do like you are no anything, of no reputation. Nice or not? Not nice. I don't like it. People suspicious me. I got angry, right? Anything bad? I got angry. God's proud, pride, ego. So easy? Is it easy to by choice become humble? Very difficult, right? Very difficult, right? Correct or not? Very difficult. I will get angry. No, my mind. Correct or not? Anybody finds it easy? Anybody finds it easy? Why? Because it's like Lucifer. We have the traits of Lucifer. Lucifer said, I will ascend to the Most High. I will sit on the throne. It's not just me. Everyone looking at me as like a great sinner. Ayo, this one is so proud. Yeah, I acknowledge I'm very proud. If anything, suddenly somebody, Joseph saying something, inside I will also be affected. Then we comfort ourselves, human, I'm also man. Correct or not? If I say you no reputation, you, huh? I don't want to. Don't use it as an example. I say this one, hey, you cannot, no use. Feel hurt, right? When I'm small, you know, our parents say, good for nothing, cannot do anything properly. Will you be happy? Yay! I'm humble, yay! Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Here's something wrong with you, right? So, are you willing to then say, let's go for option two? Are you then willing with me to say, let God make us humble? I told you there are only two options. What? You humble yourself, you empty yourself, become no reputation, let people say anything, you also smile. Huh? Yes, I know you. Or whatever. Or you let God deal with you, make you humble. What's your choice? You and I have no choice lah. You have a choice. But more often than not, it is God who works, because we pray, my God, make him like Jesus. Correct or not? Are you agreeable? Don't fight, eh? Correct or not? So it is God who? The second choice. It is through God working to make us humble, to empty us. Amen. How does that happen? Through God ordained circumstances in our lives. Hallelujah. Everybody look here. The circumstances in our lives, whether through our sin, our mistakes, other people's mistakes, and anything, God can use on you. It can be the devil. It can be our failure, our sin, other people's mistake. God can make use of all that as the circumstances to humble us. Hallelujah. When you see that, you understand it. Why God wants to humble you and me? They don't miss the point. Why?
To position us to receive grace. To position us to receive grace.
Correct? Look carefully here. Jesus emptied himself. That's a sign. That is how it's described in the Bible. Jesus made himself nothing. Emptied himself, humbled himself. We cannot. Difficult for us to do that. God arranged the circumstances to humble us. Do you get that? How does God do that? Through circumstances? The effect is the same? Yes. We are empty. Empty ourselves means what? We feel naked. Empty means empty, shame, like naked. This is where we got it wrong. Whenever any circumstance empty us, make us naked, we quickly get things to cover us. Hello? We are not. When circumstances, purpose of God using every circumstances to empty us so that we become humble, we quickly grab whatever we can, whatever our achievement or whatever, to cover our nakedness, wasted that circumstances. We respond. You see, God, in His wisdom, allows things to happen, what He in His power could have delivered us. But by ordaining that circumstances, He gives us a choice to respond. If we respond correctly, we will receive His grace. If we do not respond correctly, we miss the opportunity to receive grace.
Wait for another time.
Another round. Another round of being emptied. When we are emptied, we should immediately be in the presence of God, know who God is to us, what God is through us. The grace, the presence of God, the love must immediately be our covering. Many people feel very vulnerable. People criticize them. You are in the circumstances, you feel very vulnerable. Some people react in anger, react in bitterness. Some people react in greater pride. Because they are nothing already, they use lies to puff up themselves even higher. They begin to say, I'm even more spiritual than I'm not. You see that? That's the danger. Why people do that? Because when you are stripped, you feel very vulnerable. You are empty of yourself. So a person who is stripped of themselves, a humble person is going to live a very dependent life. Not nice. Everything I saw, don't want to do. That's what Jesus did. That's why other religions say Jesus is not God. Why? Everything Jesus must ask God the Father on. That is not because He doesn't know what to do. He cannot do. It shows He has emptied Himself. He has to depend on the Father. I only do what the Father does. He painted for us a very beautiful picture. You and I are supposed to live a very, very God-dependent life. Which is not nice to our flesh. Are you? That means I don't know what next. I don't know where my money will come from here or come from there. Don't know my... Yes. Because finally, we are depending on God. That's the true sign of humility. Humility. That's why some Bible teachers say, when the world shakes, it causes the Christians to shake, so that finally Christians truly depend on God. What do I mean by that? When the world shakes, economy shakes, job also tara, everything also shakes, political shakes. Bible says one more time it will shake, right? When everything shakes, it's for us to finally only depend on God. It's not our bank account, it's not our job, it's not our what we have, what we do. Oh, I'm a lawyer. Oh, I'm a doctor. So what? That does not define you. That is not who you are. One day you're taken away. I'm naked. I don't know who am I. Go crazy. That's why some people say, I don't know. I cannot live anymore. Cannot live with you. Gone. Everything that defines who I am has been taken away. Robbed. That stripping process is emptying ourselves so that we can be positioned to receive God's grace. Amen. Because when we are being emptied, it is like becoming naked. It's painful and tormenting to the soul. Our soul feels very naked. So it's very painful. Okay? So what He decided in God's wisdom, He ordained that circumstances so that you and I can rise up to understand our identity in Him. The true identity, not the false one. That I am a child of God. That God loves me. God takes care of me. But it is your choice. In that moment of vulnerability, exposed of I'm actually nothing one. I tell people I serve, but I'm actually inside nothing. At that point, I'm actually nothing. But I only have Jesus. I only have Jesus. That is that choice you make will transform you. You will not be shaken anymore. Because you're not defined by anything else. You are defined by your relationship with God. I am Jesus. I am a child of God. When you have that conviction, that one cannot learn, cannot read Bible, cannot learn anyone. It comes out, you make a choice. I am a child of God. God's love defines who I am. I'm accepted. I am who I am. No work, no this, no that, nowhere to serve or nothing does not define me. People say you are not blessed, man. You don't have breakthrough. Some seasons you are like that. Oh. There are seasons when you don't have breakthrough, oh. Correct or not? It's the fact of life. The television evangelist will tell you, you are blessed 365 days in your life. But the fact of life is, there are times when we are not blessed. Can you survive those times? When God strips us to nothing, to position us to receive His grace for the next season in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God already saw what Paul will do ahead. So He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He prepares you for the next season. With that grace, we are prepared. Amen. We receive what we need, what God knows best that we need. Hallelujah. We yield to God in every God-ordained circumstances. We don't fight against that emptying process. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is the process that God works in our lives. That's the higher reality. At the point of that vulnerability, it's at that point you can either switch to anger, flesh, bitterness, more pride, or you can just switch to, like Jesus, I empty myself. My Father say, this is my Son, in whom I love. I have that Father's love always with me. People spit at me, Jesus can still remember. He can still remember His Father's voice. This is my Son, in whom I love. People spit, people do anything, it's always real in Him. My Father loves me. I have a real relationship with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. The triune relationship is real. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given to us on how amazing your grace is, how important we receive your grace, and how you work in our lives through the grace of God. God, it is your wisdom many times that you do not, in your power, deliver us from some problems, Lord. Not because you want to destroy us, not because you do not love us, but God, in your wisdom, in your great love for us, you allow us to go through certain things, Lord. You want to humble us. You want to position our lives so that we can be continuously receiving your grace, Lord, to do what you want us to do, to be the man, the woman you want us to be, Lord. Not what we want to be in our own imagination, in our own vain imagination, not what we want to pursue in our own fleshly imagination, but all that you ordain in our lives, Lord, so that we can be positioned to receive your grace, Lord. When we receive that grace, oh God, we know we have the well-timed grace for the help, for the need that we are facing, Lord. Hallelujah. But the perspective of how we see things will change, Lord. Many knots in our hearts will be loosened, oh God. We will be set free to love you, to worship you, to follow you with all our hearts, Lord. That we can be known as your disciple. We can be known as your bride. Hallelujah. Who praise you for all your ways. Who can say your ways are wonderful. Who can be thankful. Who can be grateful in the midst of storms. Who can live above every circumstances. Who can tap into a higher reality at every given point. God, grant us this grace, we pray. We don't want to just hear this. We want to live in that reality. We fall short of this reality in our lives, oh God. Forgive us, Lord. Many times we yield to our anger. We yield to our bitterness. We yield to our flesh. We yield to pride, oh God. And all that you have done in our lives come to nothing, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. Let's just open our hearts right now, ask God to forgive us. to do a work of healing in our hearts so that we can come boldly into His throne of grace and we can ask God to impart His grace in our lives. Can we ask Brother Joseph to play the guitar again? Hallelujah. Just take this time quickly, just tell God, Father, forgive us. Sometimes you want to give us grace, but we were not recipient of Your grace, Lord. It was like in vain, Lord. Just play this. Father, cleanse us, purify us, Lord. You show us all these things not to condemn us, Lord, but to set us free. You grant us revelations, Lord, not to cause us to be in bondage, Lord, but to set us free, O God. Thank you, Lord. You love us so much. This evening, we want to come to Your throne of grace, Lord. We come to Your throne of grace, Lord. Set us free. We just want to draw near to Your presence again, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, wherever we are right now, whatever you are facing, my brother, my sister, when you recognize it is the hand of God in your life, when you recognize that it is the beautiful hands of God, that in His wisdom, He allows all these things to happen, then we can just let go of all the burdens we carry. We can just run to God and find that His name is a strong tower. Hallelujah. 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 We don't have to carry all the burdens anymore. We can just be who we are and come to God and say, God, I never knew You are such a good God. I never knew You are such a wise and loving God. I didn't recognize Your hands. I thought it was the hand of the devil. Forgive me, O God. You in Your wisdom, O God, arrange all this for my good, O God. Now I choose to yield. Now I choose to surrender, O God, so that Your beautiful purpose can come to pass in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that I can cooperate with Your Holy Spirit to take a step further in Your destiny, in this journey of my life, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Come on, just open your mouth and talk to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. You're so loving. You're so wise, O God. You know what I can handle. You know what I cannot handle, Lord. God, in my immaturity, I thought I can handle this, I can handle that, God. In Your wisdom, You do not give me all this. In Your wisdom, You kept me from not falling into greater sin. In Your wisdom, You protected me. You guarded my life so that I do not go beyond Your will. So that I am continuously in Your perfect will. In Your great wisdom, You allow me to be where I am so that I do not go beyond the boundaries You have set in my life. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I praise You. You are worthy to be praised. You are beautiful. You are wise, O God. Hallelujah. Thank You. In Your presence, oh Jehovah, God Almighty, God Almighty, You're the Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Possible with You, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. Hallelujah. 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 Shekela Lobo Moshanda. Shika Rata Sabe. Jesus. Thy and not in our heart. Shekel Lobo Moshanda. Jesus' name. I break the spirit of fear.